Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 14. If you're still learning your way around the Bible, there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. And the Old Testament starts with Genesis, and the next book there is Exodus. Exodus 14. Now, like we talked about, you know, one of the things that had taken place is that initially God had used Moses to deliver the children of Israel out of slavery and out of bondage from the Egyptians. They had been there for like around 400 years, and it wasn't always a position of slavery, a relationship of slavery, but it became that as time went on because the Pharaoh that was in charge at one point had forgotten the beginnings of that relationship with these two peoples and became afraid of them, so enslaved them. And after a few hundred years, God raised up Moses and brought and used him to deliver them. Well, as they're leaving, Pharaoh has remorse, you know, and regret that he turned them loose. And he was like, wait a minute, that was a huge mistake. We're going to pursue them and overtake them and bring them back. And so we're going to pick up right where that takes place. And so we're going to talk today about what to do when you feel stuck. And so I don't know, in here, you know, have felt stuck in a situation before. Has anybody in here ever felt stuck in a situation besides me? Maybe stuck in your circumstances, stuck at a job, stuck with an attitude, stuck in a certain situation that you're not really sure, you know, how am I going to get free of this? What's going to take place? So in Exodus chapter 14, verse 9, it says this. It says, the Egyptians chased after them with all the forces in Pharaoh's army, all his horses and chariots, his charioteers and his troops. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pi-Hahiroth, across from Baal-Zephon as Pharaoh approached. The people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Everybody say, don't be afraid. And then he said, just stand still. Everybody say, stand still. And watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. And so again, man, we're talking about when we feel stuck in life. You know, a lot of times when we feel stuck, you know, there's so many emotions and so many things that go through us. You know, sometimes when we feel stuck, it's very uncomfortable for us. You know, it's a place that just a lot of times is very difficult. Sometimes it's a place of hopelessness, or, you know, it's a place of, you know, we just see no way out or anything like that. And so all of those things can feel overwhelming when we feel stuck in a place. And we can be like these guys, you know, sometimes we get mad, sometimes we get impatient, sometimes we can even get to a place where we blame God, we blame God's people, we just, all of those things. And if you walk with God for any amount of time at all, then probably at some point or another, you've experienced one of these things one way or another. And so what do we do when we get stuck? You know, and I mean, and a lot of times, you know, my first thought is hey, I want to get away from this. I want to get out of this. And yet the truth of the matter is that sometimes, hardly ever is it God's plan that he immediately bring us out. I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again because I need to hear it. And I think we're probably the same. Maybe you need to hear it too. Is that really the first question we feel stuck should not be how long. But it should be, God, what is it you're wanting to do in me during this time? And so because sometimes there's a work that God can only do in us in those seasons and in that time. And right here, Moses told the people, his very first instruction to them was this. He said, don't be afraid, just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you. And so one of the things that has to happen, I wrote this down here, that sometimes you just have to outlast the storm. Sometimes we just have to endure and persevere through the storm. You know, one of the things that I asked the Lord to give us at the start of the year is, Lord, give us a word, you know, for the other that fits us as a church. And quite honestly, I believe the word that he gave us this year was the word persevere. Now, that's kind of weird to me because this has been such a good year for us as a church so far. We've seen great growth. We've had great things happen. And, you know, we've got a great future ahead of us. And yet there's still some challenges, you know, and maybe not just even for the church, but either for yourself personally or for ourselves personally, just different challenges and things that we go through. But, man, you know, sometimes in those hard places when we feel stuck that, you know, I'm like, I want to be out of this. I want to be free from it. Lord, how long is this going to last? How long is it going to take? And sometimes God's word to me is just stand firm. Just persevere. Just outlast the storm. You know, the challenge is that Christianity was, you know, the call to Christianity that Jesus gave us flies in the face of a culture whose voice is heavily narcissistic. And the call that Jesus gave is for me to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow him. My flesh recoils at that kind of challenge. I don't want to deny myself. I certainly don't want to take up my cross, and I want to do my own thing. But I have to crucify my flesh and put that aside to be a Jesus follower and stand against the voice that comes in culture in regards to that. We have to stand firm. What do you do when you're stuck? Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't walk away. I'm just amazed, you know, what the Lord does. You know, sometimes he's just, you know, my first thought again a lot of times is like, how long is this going to happen? How much longer do I have to endure this? When, you know, when am I going to get on the other side of this? And so, you know, you've got to deal with things like that. And I, one of the favorite things that I love to read is the account of when Peter walked on the water. How many of you have ever read that account before and know what's going on there? Well, just to affirm some of you, and apparently only like 10 of you have ever read that before. So the rest of you, I'm going to share this with you. And that is that one day Jesus told the disciples to go across to the other side. So they got in a boat, and as they're going on the other side, a storm begins to hit. Now, let me tell you something. Some of these guys were professional fishermen, so they'd been in some storms before, and even they were panicking. And in my long, short life, here's one of the things I've discovered, that when the experts are scared, that's when we need to be concerned. And so these guys were professional fishermen. They were concerned a storm is coming, and all of a sudden in the distance, they see a figure walking on the water, and their first thought was it was a ghost. And in their culture, they thought that if you saw a ghost walking on the water, that was just the spirit letting you know that you're done for, your life is over. And somebody said, it's a ghost. It's like, shut up, you big encourager. You know, it was a ghost. And so all of a sudden, Jesus yelled out. He said, no, don't be afraid. It's me. And Peter, I can relate to him because sometimes he should just be shutting up and he's talking instead of thinking. And he said, well, if it's really you, then have me come. And Jesus goes, okay, come on. Well, he comes out on the water, and all of a sudden he begins to look around, and it says this, fearing, he begins to sink. He begins to sink. Can I tell you something? I've never began to sink in the water. I've jumped in, and I immediately sink. And then the natural flotation devices that I've spent time accumulating, they take charge, and they kind of give me a little buoyancy. And so, you know, but he begins to sink, and then Jesus gets him up. Now, here's the thing. If I'm Peter, this is what I want to see take place as soon as he gets me up out of the water. Let's make the storm stop. You know what happens? Jesus doesn't do that. He makes Peter walk with him back to the boat while the storm is still going. I say, how do you know? Because it wasn't until they got in the boat that Jesus then says, oh, by the way, peace be still. I think it's pretty wild that Jesus' first thought was not, let's make the storm stop. His first thought was, let's teach Peter how to walk on the water during the storm. Because the truth of the matter is, he knew that wouldn't be the only storm that Peter goes through. And so we have to learn how not to make the storm go away, but how to walk through it with Jesus as we go through it. And sometimes when we feel stuck, man, our first thought is, I'm not looking for Jesus to find out where he is. I'm looking for a way out. But God's called us to do this. And so the very first thing is stand firm. You have to persevere to see God move. We can't just quit. Like I know me. There's a lot of things about me that I'm just, the list is long of things that I can't do. You know, I mean, just all my life, I've never been that guy, you know, that just kind of stood out with their talents, with their giftings. When I had youth ministry, I kind of felt the same way. There were people in the town I was in, man, and they were musically gifted. Nobody ever asked me to sing. When I do sing, the only request I get is to be quiet. You know, I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, and I mean, there were people there that they were better looking than me. They had better hair than I did. I mean, it's all sorts of things. And it was like, every time I would take a checklist and like, why would you pick me? And the only thing that I had going for me is that I stay. I've shared about mine and Tina's marriage before, and I wish I could tell you that the day we got married, man, that from that day on it was perfect. That Disney characters brought our breakfast to us in bed and all that kind of stuff. That they dressed Tina. But, and not because she needs any help, but she would just like that. But that's not our story. Our story was that we had years of challenges learning how to live with each other. But I remember one day telling her, like, And she was the same way. I remember I told her, I said, I'm never leaving you. Ever. If we don't make it, it's not because I give up. And she was the same way. If you're going to experience and receive what God has for you, you got to persevere. Sometimes you just got to outlast the storm. Stand firm. Stand still. Watch and see what God does. Watch and see how he moves on your behalf whenever you feel stuck. Let the first question we ask be, God, what is it you want to do in me? I found this out, that there's only one thing worse than not getting the job we want, not getting the position we want, but getting it before we're ready. And these are the places that God prepares us. That place of disappointment, it's a crucible of preparation for us, for what God has for us. That place of not understanding or discouragement, it's a place that God does a prayer. That place where we feel like we have no options but to stay or to quit. That's a place that God's doing a work in us that can only be done in that place. So whenever we're stuck, instead of wanting to give up, instead of wanting to run, instead of wanting to be mad at God and all these kind of other things, sometimes it's just stand firm, persevere, watch what the Lord does, be willing to outlast the storm. You know what? The storm is temporary, but you're not. You're an eternal being. You've been made a spirit that lives inside of a body that God lives on the inside with you. And you were created to endure these things. And so stand firm. Stand firm. Number one is this. Is that stand firm, you have to persevere to see God move. Sometimes you just have to outlast the storm. Let's keep reading there. It said this. He said, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Then the angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved from the front and stood behind them. The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and Israelites did not approach each other all night. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. So, again, imagine this, that they've, you know, after centuries of slavery and bondage, the children of Israel think they're free finally, and they leave Egypt with all of this wealth, and then eventually they realize that, you know, that Pharaoh's had a change of heart, and he's coming after them. And so then Moses positions them where they have the water in front of them, and they have the military of Egypt behind them. And so they feel stuck, like there's no way out. And so, you know, then Moses like stand firm, and God begins to say, well, have them to keep moving. And so eventually they get to the place where they can't move anymore. They have no place to go. It's either in the water to drown or turn around and face the world, you know, the most powerful military in the world of that time and face them. And in that moment, what God does is that he positions himself between the children of Israel and their enemies. Now, it's wild, you know, again, I go back to this, that sometimes, you know, why didn't the Lord just open up the water, you know? Why didn't he, and you know, there's just reasons why, things that he's doing there, but he stood between them. And again, the children of Israel just want a way out. I mean, they're even willing to do this. Let's just go back to the way it was. Sometimes that happens to us, right? Whenever we feel stuck and times get hard, let's just go back to our old relationships. Let's just go back to our old attitude, our old addictions, our old lifestyle, the things that, you know, now that they don't look so bad when we're faced with what the reality of living free looks like. Let's just go back to those things. And the reality of it is, though, is that what they had to experience was what it's like whenever we endure these things and persevere with God. You know, one of my favorite psalms, I share this a lot at funerals, but it's a reality in our life, is Psalm 23. And in it, it says this, it goes, though I walk through, everybody say through. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't get to go over it. I don't get to go around it or under it. Some things we just have to walk through. He said, I won't be afraid. Why is it? Because he was so tough? No, he said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. And here's why. Because you're with me. And I think so many times we want to try to go through these hard places and we want to, again, just try to do it the old ways. We just want to look for a way out instead of looking towards God and saying, God, the only way I can go through this is with your help. Let me just tell you something. I've lived long enough now that the one thing that happens to me continually is more and more my confidence grows because I have a history and a track record of being in hopeless places and hopeless situations where seemingly there was no way through, that God shows up and he creates a way that I did not even know there's a way. And so even in the hard places now, sometimes I just have this confidence that God will do it again. He'll do it again. He'll bring it to pass again. Psalm 77, 19, I love this verse here. He says, your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway that no one knew was there. In other words, it was a path that only God knew was there. I've had that situation. I've shared with you before that when I felt called to youth ministry, I was so discouraged. I'm like, God, people have had an opportunity to hire me. Nobody wants me. People have had an opportunity. I've wanted. Nobody's promoting me. There's no door. And yet I've got this desire. It feels so unfair that you would put this in there, and it feels like there's no opportunity. And little did I know there was a door right in front of me, but I didn't know that door was there, but God did. And in time, he revealed it. In time, he opened it up. And so here's the thing. If you're stuck, number two is look for God's way out. Don't try to take the shortcuts. Don't go back to the old way of doing things. Don't look for immediate relief and that type of thing, thinking it'll be easier. It will only enslave us again. They wanted to go back and be enslaved again by the thing that their hearts felt captive to for centuries. But the first time that things got hard and got difficult, let's just go back. I think we've all been tempted to do that at some time or another, that a place that Jesus has taken us from, that whenever we feel stuck, and it seems like the only path we have is either into the storm or back to captivity, so oftentimes we choose back to captivity. But God's got a way out. Well, Pastor Rick, what is it? I don't know. You know what? Right now, you may not know either, but do you know who does know? God does. He knows. He knows the way out. And so I think this is wild that, he was going to, all of those things, God said this. He said, my great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops, his chariots and his charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord. Why has God brought me out of it? Maybe because he wants to use your situation, your circumstances, that when you push through that and on the other side, the people that knew what you were facing, what you're dealing with, that he's going to use this moment, this season, this opportunity, not only to glorify himself in your life, but to reveal to people that know you that he can be trusted. He's a good God. When will I get out? When will the way be shown to me? When you're ready. When it's ready. And so we have to look for his way, his way. And again, you say, well, when's that going to take? Well, I can tell you my experience has been, it's almost always longer than I want it to be. Right? Galatians 6 says, in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. When's due season? Longer than I want it to be. I want a due season to be last month. And it's not. And I still don't know when due season is. When is due season? When is due season? Well, I think it's due season now. Well, you're not God, so you don't know. And I'm not making fun of you. I'm not God either. I don't know. But in due season, we'll reap if we faint not. And so we have to look, we have to find the way that God is. It's hardly ever a way of compromising our values, compromising our integrity, going back to the things that God has set us free from. It's such a trap and a lie from the enemy. And so we have to be willing to persevere and outlast the storm. God's bigger than the storm. And he lives on the inside of you. 1 John 4:4, if you're a believer, says this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The greater one lives in you. And it says this, we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that he can elevate us and cause us to stand steady and stand firm and stand strong in the storm. You're not stuck. God's working in you. You're not stuck. It's not over. God's working in you. There's a work that he's doing in you in this moment and in this season. Sometimes the thing that seems as if it's going to drown you may be the thing that God uses to bring you out. I just know for me, when I went through depression in my early 20s, it was clinical for me. And now I can tell you years later, I'm on the other side of it. It seems like another person back then, but God has used that. He's used that to reveal to me that he cares not just about, you know, freedom from sin, but also from things like that can enslave us or whatever. And I told him, I said, Lord, if you ever free me from this, I'll use it to talk about it to people, because we never talk about it in the pulpit. And I'll use it to encourage them and give them hope that there's freedom and liberty in what Jesus has done for us. And so number two is that look for God's way out when you feel stuck. Let's look at number three and we'll close with this. He said, so the people of Israel walked, everybody say walked. Walked through the middle of the sea as on dry ground. I don't know about you, but my natural instinct, if I've got this huge army behind me that's enslaved me and beaten me my whole life, and all of a sudden a door opens up, I'd be like, let's go. I'd be running. And then I'd collapse. I'd have a few of you around me that were young. I'd say, carry me. Forget about yourself. Just carry me, you know. And so I would go. And then it would say this. Then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud. And he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making them grocery carts from there on out. So, no, I was thinking about that yesterday. I'm like, that's why the grocery carts, they used to be chariots. And so I thought I would share it with you, and I saw you laughing too. And seven or eight of you did. And so anyway, so he says, and he threw their face in total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. Let's get out of here, away from those Israelites, the Egyptians shouted. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. When all the Israelites had reached the other side, the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the sea again. Then the waters will rush back and cover the Egyptians and their chariots and charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the water rushed back into its usual place. The Egyptians tried to escape, but the Lord swept them into the sea. Then the waters returned and covered all the chariots and charioteers. The entire army of Pharaoh, of all the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived, but the people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground as the water stood up like a wall on both sides. Yeah, so again, that night, that evening, they're trying, they're wondering, what are we doing? All of a sudden, God stands between them and their enemies, and they just wait. I'm in a hurry. They're there. Let's go. How long is the fire going to be there? I don't know. Let's go. Wait. Really? Okay. And I'm not saying okay because I want to, but because I have no choice. And then eventually it opens up, and by now I'm like, I'm walking. And then we look at this whole account from this moment on of while they were in the wilderness, that in the daytime they would have a cloud lead them. And sometimes the cloud would just move and they would move. And then the cloud would stop. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. And at night they had a fire, a pillar of fire that would lead them. And, you know, and the cloud in the day would provide cover from the sun. And at night the fire would provide warmth but also direction for them in the dark. And sometimes it would move constantly. Then it would just stop, just for no reason. It'll just stop, and they would just camp there. How long? However long the cloud stayed. However long the fire stayed. And the minute it began to move, they moved again. Sometimes it was a day, sometimes it was a week, sometimes it was months. Because they understood this. Number three is this: when you're stuck, move at God's pace. We experience the peace of God when we adopt the pace of God. That when we adopt however fast he wants to move in this moment, in this season, in this situation, then we begin to experience his peace. Sometimes I get in a hurry. And I get out in front of him, and I'm running out there, and all of a sudden it's like, right, God? Right? It's kind of like whenever Mary and Joseph were taking Jesus to be dedicated to the temple. It says that they went there, they were doing all of their things, and then when they left, they were gone for a day and realized Jesus wasn't with them. I don't feel like such a bad parent now. My wife loses her mind whenever they were little. I'm like, where are the kids at? School? I mean, And so, you know, they left him for, it took them 3 days to find him. And man, I've had that in my own life. I've experienced that in my own life with him sometimes where I feel like I'm walking with him, we're talking, and I get distracted, and I keep on walking, and finally I look around like, Jesus? And I have to go back to where I last talked to him at. Because God has a pace that's different than mine. And sometimes I've sensed an urgency, like, okay, move on this now. And other times when I've wanted to be urgent, and he's been like, wait. And again, man, my flesh wants to be in charge. It gets uncomfortable because things aren't happening as quickly as I want them to. That bill's not being paid off as fast as I want it to. My kids not gaining their sanity as fast as I want them to. I mean, just all of these things that happen, yet there's a pace that God has that, you know, sometimes it's because there's a work he's having to do in me so that I'm ready when that door opens. Sometimes there's a work he's doing in me so that that door is ready when I get there. I've shared with you, you know, when we came here, that a couple of years before we came here, I'm from here, but we were in New Mexico for 16 and a half years. And a couple of years before we left, man, I was just homesick. My heart ached to be back in Oklahoma and start a church. And I remember talking to the Lord about it. And just about the time I was getting ready to kind of nail it down, then a couple of staff members that were in key positions quit. And I thought, man, I know everything's good, but if three of us quit at the same time, it looks bad. So God, I'm not going to do it. They've been too good to me. Lord, I love your church. I don't want to create issue in your church. And so I'm just going to stay. I stayed 2 years longer than I wanted to. And it wasn't because of them. I was just ready. When things were good and we're healthy, I felt a release to go, and I remember that I was going to go. And after I told them, like a few weeks later, they met with us. I said, we're going to pay your salary for the next year. And I think one of the reasons the Lord had me wait was not just for them, but because he wanted to take care of us. And probably if we'd left 2 years before that, they probably wouldn't have been in a position to do that. But God knows things I don't know. And all of those unanswered questions I had, when I began to follow God's pace, all of a sudden peace began to show up. And in time, answers did too. But we have to find God's pace. We experience the peace of God when we adopt the pace of God. Sometimes I get out in front of him. I move too fast. I had a Bible school teacher, he told me, he said, sometimes it's better just to be a little slow. He said, at least you're still following. But I get impatient. I get in a hurry. I've seen it happen here. People wanted positions and opportunities. And I'm just told him, I said, you just serve. That we have so many people here that are in positions that they serve their way to that point. They endured disappointment. They endured, you know, not getting opportunities that they thought were theirs. They endured sometimes not understanding or seeing us make mistakes as leaders. You know, whenever God calls you to a church, he never calls you to a perfect church. So that means if he plants you there, that there's going to be times you get to endure and experience the mistakes the leadership makes. And let me tell you something, as leaders, we make lots of them. But God knew that whenever he planted you. But he's doing a work in us too. But it's so easy to get impatient and get in a hurry. And when is this going to happen? Why isn't it going to happen? And then because of that, we feel stuck. We let the calendar tell us that we're stuck. We let the fact that we don't see where the road is going to open up make us feel stuck. We make it feel because it's still hard right now. We're still in a hard place. Makes us feel stuck as opposed to saying, I'm going to stand firm until I know what God wants me to do next. I'm going to persevere. And if I have to, I'll outlast the storm. It won't outlast me. And then we don't walk through just any door, go back to just anything. We wait for God to open up the door that he has for us. And sometimes it may be one that was in front of us all the time, but because we weren't ready, we didn't see it. And then we discover his pace. Sometimes he says go, and sometimes he says wait. And sometimes he says stop. But his pace is one of the places that I find peace. You're not stuck. You're maturing. You're not stuck. He's preparing you. Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that you're stuck where you are, that this is just, you're just doomed to this. No. No, as long as you're yielded to God and you trust him and your eyes are, you stand and watch God as he delivers and as he does and as you stand firm and as you persevere, there is something that's being done in you that couldn't be done anywhere else. It's got to be done in this moment with these circumstances underneath this pressure because he has more for you to do than you can see right now. And so when the devil tells you that you're stuck, you say, I'm not stuck, I'm growing. He's preparing because he has more for me. And whatever storm you throw at me, I'll outlast because God's with me, though I walk through it. I'll not be afraid because you're with me. And so we go at the pace of God. I know right now, man, some of you feel stuck. You've been dealing with the same situation, the same circumstances. You feel overlooked. You feel unimportant. You feel like people are indifferent to you. You feel like that you have no hope, that you're just, you know, that you feel stuck in your reputation, stuck from your mistakes of the past, stuck in things that are going on in your world and that type of thing. And I just want to encourage you that if you'll turn your eyes towards the Lord and stand and watch what God does and move when he says move, that there's a work that he's doing in you right now, because whatever it is he has for you, you're not ready for the next thing yet. He's preparing you for it, and this is what it takes. And then he'll open up a door or a way that you didn't even know was there. You thought it was just a common conversation, a common moment, a common circumstance. And then later on you reveal as God was just using it to create an uncommon situation. And then you trust the pace that he goes at and see what he does. I want you to do this. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute. And I want to pray over you. My heart just goes out to those of you that are in this season right now where you feel stuck. Some of you have been tempted to go back to some old things. Some of you may have even slipped back into some old things, because you bought into the lie that that's easier, that's better. It's not nearly as hard as this. It's a lie. Slavery never offers you more than freedom. And when we know Jesus, he said, you'll know the truth and it will make you free. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray over every person that's here, and God, especially for those that feel stuck, maybe stuck in their job, maybe stuck with their past, stuck with an attitude or the way people see them or their reputation, stuck with away from their dreams, where they feel trapped, where they have this dream in their heart, but there just doesn't seem to be any way for it to come to pass. But just like you did with the children of Israel, just like I've seen you do in my life and the life of other people, that there's a way sometimes that may be right in front of us that only you know about. And when the time is right, you open up that path. God, I speak encouragement and hope over each person here today that feels stuck. And Father, I pray that they change their question from how long to God, what is it you want to do in me? And Father, in this moment, as they deal with that, that they look to you, willing to stand firm unless you say move, and then when you say move, they move. And when they're tempted to run, but you say walk, they walk. Because they trust you. So God, I pray for that right now in the name of Jesus. Let the breath of God be upon every person here that feels stuck in this moment, in this place, in their circumstances, in their situation. Let the Spirit of God just break any bondage off of their life in the name of Jesus. Let there be any healing in Jesus' name that needs to take place. Restore anything that's felt lost or stolen or taken away. Provide for anyone that feels just hopeless. Resource, they feel like they have no resources. Let your presence just witness to them right now that they're not stuck. There is a work that you're doing now, and in that you'll be glorified with the outcome. So we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. I'm going to be quiet for just a minute. You just spend this moment with God, just there in that secret place with you and him.